Okay, today I have four people that graduated from this program and are out working in the field. And they're coming in to talk to you and tell you about their jobs and answer questions so that you can kind of figure out what they're doing. Some of them may end up being the person that I assigned you as a mentor, and so you can figure that out. So they're going to talk. We have an hour and 15 minutes, so that means try to limit yourselves to 10 or 15 minutes, I guess, and then we'll have questions afterward, but if they're a little longer, that's fine too. And they're just going to get up and talk and answer questions. Okay, so I have five people. The people are talking.
Of my senior year. But many of them, one of them was travel, a lot of travel, like international travel, and I was a little afraid of that. So I didn't take that job. And then there was a programming job, which I realized I don't really like to program. So here I had, you know, gotten my associate's degree in programming and done a lot of programming, a lot of languages, taken many, many, many classes. But then a job at a college came along, and it felt like it was the best of all. I had spent so much time around colleges that it just really felt natural to me. So that's the job that I took. And what was nice about that job, it was at a small college, Dean Junior College at the time in Franklin. It was small enough that I got to do everything. So I got to learn fundraising, you know, things that, you know, you wouldn't, and learn how to implement systems of fundraising. And the push for PCs was real big then. So deploying all the PCs, networks, you know, Novell at the time, you know, our mainframe system, our mini computer system at the time. So I was really able to get my hands into everything. But what I was also able to do was to learn all of the aspects of how a college operates. And that, to me, is what works the best for me, is not being, you know, sitting and doing one thing all day long, but being able to learn about all the aspects of an enterprise, be it the fiscal side, the student side, you know, all the, you know, as I, once I figured out that I needed to be a good student, I was really on my GPA, like I know how to calculate that thing backwards, forwards, what if I get this grade on my calculator, you know, and ironically, as I transitioned to working at a college, I obviously knew how to have, how everything worked with a transcript because of that. So a job came up here, and it just felt supernatural. You know, I was living close by, and I was like, wow, wouldn't that be really weird? And I still remember coming here in 1998, so it had been about 10 years since I was a student. And my supervisor at the time said, oh, well, you'll be the chair of the technology committee. And I said, okay. So the weirdest of things, Priscilla's on this. So now I'm the chair of this committee, and the teacher that I had for, oh gosh, I don't even know how many classes, was on the committee. Jerry Magnan, he's a math teacher, he was on the committee. So it was like this whole 365 degrees of now being the person at the on the other side of the table. So that was an interesting thing. It doesn't feel like that now because it's been a long time. I don't ever get mistaken for a student anymore, unfortunately. Early on, working at a college, I probably did. But I do have to say, I came to an event here last week, and when I first walked in, I said, that looks like a teacher from Case. Sure enough, it was a woman that taught English for, it must have been 100 years, because she just retired, like, the other year. And I was talking to her afterwards, and we both agreed that working in education, she looked like she still looked the same as she did when I was in junior high school back in the early 80s. And we both agreed that working in education or being around young people and looking to improve yourself continuously really does keep you young and keep you engaged. And I feel that strongly. And, you know, one of the things that we have the good fortune in my area, in IT overall, is that 80% of the folks in ITS are Bristol alums. So we are committed to the college. We have a fabulous farm system, which Priscilla and her folks have helped contribute to the talent that we have. So we have a lot of committed people, a lot of people that know Bristol and have been around Bristol for a long, long time. Do I program? Yet. It's a big fat no. Do I understand it? Yes, so I'm good in that way, and I'm good to be the bouncer offer of all things, whether it's, you know, half the time I'll have someone working on something, it could be a network switch issue, it could be whatever issue, and I'm usually the realist that said, hey, what about blah, 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 and I, honestly, 9 times out of 10, it's what I said, because I'm separated enough from it that I'm not too in the weeds thinking about what it might be. So that's my story. Can I answer any questions for anyone? Sure.
So, you were saying in the beginning how in like the late 80s, early 90s, computers were not at all what they are now, and there was only one track when getting into school for it, so...
What would I have done if I could have?
Well, not really as much that, but I mean, getting into computer science now, it's obvious that it's a growing industry.
It's very competitive, yes.
Was that still the case in the late 80s? Was it still thought of that way?
It's interesting. It's a little different than it was. It felt like to me here, there, and coming from an underrepresented, you know, being a woman, there were a fair amount of women in the program for the associate's degree at the time. And I think at that time, in the 80s, it was very easy. And it even is still now. Several of the folks that work in my area graduated from here, and one just very recently, and come right to work in my department. At that time, many of the women and men did that. I think transferring was an option. But once I got to the transfer institution, it felt like it was more a traditional route, I would say. Was it popular then? Was it competitive then? Yes. 4 job offers right away. I thought you were going to say, what would I do if I could do it now? And if I could do it now, I would do cybersecurity. That's just personally what, because I love that stuff. I guess I love being, whenever anyone wants to know anybody, anything about anybody on the down low, I'm that person. I can find out anything about anybody, you know, so I love that uncovering piece of stuff. Whenever we've had a situation, whenever we've had a situation that we need to figure out, that's what I love to do. And what I used to advise several years ago, and I would outright say that that probably would have been a path that would have been something that I would be interested in. I have a college, high school senior now, and so I do look a lot about colleges. He's not looking at he's looking at engineering, not computer engineering. But I do look at the computer science is very competitive salaries right now. It's probably among, I would say, one of the best fields to be choosing right now, just based on salary potential. It's not easy. There's a lot of math. There's a lot of stuff you got to get through. But if you can, it's a very good field. Well, thank you for giving me a few moments of your time. I appreciate it. I'm over at A Building. If you ever have any questions, career questions, happy to answer them. Okay, thanks.
I realized Hey, I've always liked computers, I've always been alright with it. You know, my parents always thought I was really smart because I could like unplug the VCR and get it all plugged back in. And so I did this course and I liked it, so I decided I'm going to pursue a career in computer science. And I ended up right around the age of 18 building my first website for a real estate company and making some money off that. And that was cool. Continued my career at BCC. Did alright, it took me a long time to graduate. She can vouch for that. Eventually I did. But during that time, I can probably say that I was able to find a job. I got a job in Taunton at this company called SmartCo Services, doing just general IT, doing like networking, support. You know, my customers were the employees. Ended up staying there for a little while. Grew with the company. I was there for about 5 years. One of the cool stories I got about that company, true story, I was in the server room with the director of IT, this gentleman named Steve, very smart guy, like the type of guy that, you know, you kind of got to limit your time with him because he was like kind of like awkward, right? But he really smart guy. He built all this infrastructure, and this was back in 2009, 2008, so things were a lot different then than they are today. Things changed dramatically in this industry. So he ended up showing me the server room and was like, all right, man, here you go. Here's the key, the physical key to the server rack, and you have server administrative rights on all the VM boxes and everything. And he's like, have fun. And I was like, whoa, all right, wow, you're going to give me like the key to this. And honestly, it was one of the best things ever because even though it was so scary and I really felt like I was going in over my head, but there was no better way to learn. And the getting involved and being scared, getting out of your comfort zone. So encourage everybody to do that as much as you can. Do the things that scare you. You can break it, but if you break it, you'll fix it. But it was one of the cool things at that company. Fast forward a little bit. I worked with that company for about 5 years. In your career, some people, I personally feel, this is my opinion, that once you get to a certain point at a company, you kind of have to jump ship so you can kind of just start climbing up that ladder. So I ended up leaving and got hired. When I was at SmartCo towards the end, I started dabbling in programming again. I've always been building the website, so it was just easy for me to pick up and do. So I became a tier 2 .NET developer there, very specific stack at Microsoft. If anybody knows what .NET is, C#, VB, all that stuff, the .NET framework. I ended up moving to my current company in 2011. I ended up going to this new company and getting hired directly as a senior application developer, where I would program the JavaScript and build really cool UIs using Angular, AngularJS at the time, which I actually saw some AngularJS stuff up here, which is pretty cool. That was pretty fun, learned a lot. Around that time, I actually did a program here at BCC through a collaboration with Wentworth, where I could graduate with a project management degree and pretty much pay like a third price for it. So those, you know, did that. So I graduated from Wentworth, summa cum laude, not that that means anything, but that was fun. It was hard work. Hard work is hard work. You always do hard work. So I've been at Optum now. That's the company I work for now. Has anybody heard of Optum? Okay, cool. One person? So Optum is a really cool company. Optum is my office. Optum itself is headquartered in Minnesota. They have like a ton of buildings down there. They have like facilities down there. They have offices and buildings everywhere. But my office here in Massachusetts, it's actually right across the street from Fenway Park. I can see Fenway from my office, which is pretty cool. What's even cooler about my office is that I don't have to go. I'm very fortunate that I get to work from home a little bit. I usually go into the office once or twice a week, but I'm very fortunate because of my career in computer science. A lot of it is being able to do telecommuting, be able to work from home. Me and my fiance had a baby last year, so I've been very fortunate that my fiance also works from home. She works at Marriott. We're both able to stay home and watch our daughter grow up, which is probably the best thing in the world. Like, no matter what happens after this, at least I had that. But at Optum, my day-to-day consists of working on an agile scrum team, which is a form of project management, which you guys will probably discover. I mean, things always change, different methodologies come along, but it's kind of like what's been happening for the last couple of years, and you guys will probably, if you guys get into software development, you probably discover that. So we work on a team. We kind of have members in India, Minnesota, Arizona, California, but the people I work with really closely are in this area. And my day consists of pretty much taking business requirements. So, you know, at the end of the day, there's a business, there's a product, there's a vision, right? Somebody wants to develop. I'll tell you a little bit more specific about the project that I'm working on. The project I'm working on is a project in SDOH, which stands for Social Determinants of Health. So basically what it means is a lot of data scientists want to collect all this data, jail data, hospital data, user input data, and see how they can determine if we can get some preventative measures for patients before they get sick, before they go to the ERs, they can save a lot of money. So the main idea would be that we're going to build this cool survey tool that's like really, you know, it's like an app on an iPad. We rolled it out in Hawaii. So if you go to a clinic in Hawaii, you'll probably see the tool. So you take a questionnaire. Questionnaire will really cool how it's built. It will do some cool things like stratify your results, or your answers, and give the results and basically determine if you're like a high-risk patient, if you have a housing need, if you have a food need, if you're a domestic, if you're a victim of abuse. So true story, we built this questionnaire, and somebody was there in the waiting room with an abusive partner, and without a tool, they were able to say, yes, like, I'm being abused, and do it confidentially. We were able to just, like, resolve that issue because she was able to do that with our tool. So the tool is pretty vast, so we collect all that data. Data scientists use things like Tableau and other data reporting tools to, like, determine, like, doing machine learning algorithms and predict certain things about patients and ultimately save money in healthcare, because healthcare is a mess. But, yeah, so that's like, my day-to-day. We have those requirements, so we'll build apps, we'll build a survey tool, things like that. Yeah, the front-end stack that I use now is actually React. And everything is serverless, so we're using Amazon Web Services, AWS. You guys all heard of AWS. It's everywhere, right? It's awesome. We build everything hands-off. Meaning that we don't have any engineers touching infrastructure anymore, right? Everything is done by code. They call it IAC, infrastructure as code. So we're actually able to deploy infrastructure that can scale for new environments, whatever, with code, which is actually a pretty big part of what I do as well. So that's kind of like what I've been up to. Recently, and I mentioned a lot of things in there, and those are kind of like what I'm seeing out there right now as potential career paths for everybody, right? So, you know, you have web development, you have front-end framework, you have front-end development, and that's not going anywhere, and companies are paying big bucks for that. Companies are paying big bucks for data analysis, so you can figure out, like, these new tools, like Tableau, the other ones escaping me, but, you know, back-end infrastructure, IAC, Scrum project management, like, just being able to lead a team is like, it's the easiest thing in the world, and people, that's a career to go into, you know, if you wanted to work with people and work with team members, getting the team to finish, to cross the finish line, that's a job in itself. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I also really like to do stuff for the city, Fall River. I really love the city. I'm actually a member of the BIC, which is the Business Innovation Center over on Columbia Street. I'm going to be doing a talk there in the next couple months about cloud computing and infrastructure as code and deployments. So if anybody would like to learn more about that or reach out to me, you guys can get information for Crystal Grossa, but I'm online, very easy to reach out to. I'm on Twitter or whatever. I'll put my email up here. If anybody wants to email me, I'd love to get to know you guys. So this is up. Pogo.io, like Pogo Studio with the .io. But does anybody have any questions or any comments or anything to?
So with like AngularJS and React, did you learn that in a class or did you have to go on and learn it within your job?
I didn't do like any type of formal classroom training. What I did do was I did do a lot of Pivotal Site training, which is a great resource. It's a little expensive, but it's worth it. I think it's about $300 a year. Very good amount of resources there and very knowledgeable people giving the content. So the combination of both, I mean, like what I learned in there was great to get me started, but I didn't really learn until I was actually doing the stuff.
So you were kind of placed in it. And
trial by fire.
Yeah.
Right. So it all goes back to that thing, like when Steve gave me that key, right? Like, here you go, figure it out. And that's when your careers, when you guys are looking for leaders in your jobs, you really want somebody that's like that.
Yeah.
Somebody that pushes you and like, you don't want somebody always telling you what to do. And that's like the beautiful thing about this industry. It's really fun and you get to kind of do your own thing. So you get no problem. And AngularJS is the old one. You want to look for just Angular now?
Angular?
Yeah.
Okay.
That Angular thing, I have a question. I haven't heard that before. That's a programming language of its own? Or?
It's a JavaScript. It's all based on JavaScript. It's a UI framework. So it does things like provides organization and structure to your code.
But you have to have your code.
You still write code.
It just gets
you there faster and in a more concrete way.
And that's PogoStudio.com?
Pogostud.io.
Oh, okay. I missed the period there.
Oh, yeah. Period.
Okay.
And I'm on Twitter, I think. I'm sure I'm on Twitter, but I don't know what it is. But you guys can reach me on there. Oh, Priscilla, give me my information. All right, guys, thanks for your time, and good luck.
Getting all of those images filed away properly was just a super manual process. VBNet at the time could move around all the things that I would move around in an 8-hour day, probably 5 minutes with one method and, I don't know, 30 lines of code, just moving around files. Super simple, but 8 hours of my day. That's really what I fell in love with being able to take something that takes a human, whether it's myself or somebody else, a large amount of time, opportunity for error, and just automate it. And that's kind of where my story began. I changed my concentration here to information systems. I started out part-time, and then as I went on, I went faster and faster to the point where I think my last semester here, I took 8 courses at the same time. There were 7 in the lab. I was working full-time at the time, so another great decision. I made it through, transferred over to Bridgewater State, only because their articulation review was super smooth. I was in and out of there in 3 semesters, again, taking a lot of courses, working full-time at the time. Kind of right around the end of my time here at BCC, I got a job at a financial company in Newport, Rhode Island. They were a mortgage lender that lends in 40-something states. And I started there as an entry-level application developer doing .NET. I had VBNet experience. All of their code was in C#. I had never seen C#. My next grad was a Kevin, who gave me an opportunity to show him what I could do. I gave him some code samples, said, listen, I haven't graduated. I've got no degree, no professional experience. I have some coding that I've done on my own time that I can show you. If you don't like me, keep me out for a week and I'll get rid of me. So he gave me a chance. The C# was very similar to VBNet, just because of the .NET language. I don't know if you guys have touched on .NET yet, but it's a really good framework to get into. There's a lot of different paths in and around it. And it's not an exclusion to go into something like React or Angular. You're still going to deal with that on the front end. But my day-to-day right now is managing a team of 6 developers. I don't get to do a lot of developing on my own time. That's just what I like to do. The reason I got into programming, part of the reason why is because a computer with programming, you tell it something to do, and it does it exactly how you tell it to do it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're never going to have anything or anyone that's going to do that. If you're somebody that likes control, then programming is very appealing to you. And that's what was appealing to me. But I don't get to do a whole lot of it now. It's dealing with people issues, business requirements, project managers, sitting at meetings. That stuff is not fun for me. I don't know how it would be fun for the people that might be sitting in this class, but maybe. There's all different types of people. But my team works on a piece of software that originates all the loans. So a borrower calls in and says, I'm looking to buy a house. I need a mortgage. They put in all their information into the origination system, and they run pricing. They pull the borrower's credit, which just reaches out to the credit bureaus with the borrower's data, which gets back XML. We parse that out, read through, see if they're a good borrower to lend to. That system, actually, we buy. So this is my work on we buy just the way it comes. You can use it just the way it comes. There are banks and lenders that use the system just the way it comes. But it also has a lot of features where you can build on it. You can write code that says, when the borrower's name changes, do this. Add in this screen so that the loan officers can enter this data. So we've expanded on it quite a bit. We're probably one of the most customized clients of this software. We work in a solution that has probably 40 different projects, hundreds of thousands of lines of code. We do releases just about every week. It's an agile Scrum kind of paradigm that my team works on both. So every Thursday night I'm on there releasing a new version of our software. Going pretty fast. I'm trying this sometimes. What was obvious that I missed? I got something.
Anybody got a question?
One piece of advice I would say. When you're looking at job postings, you're going to see a lot of job postings say, this is an entry-level position, but you need to have expert skills in VB, in PHP, and they'll name every language. They're going to name every JavaScript framework. Don't go by that. You know a couple of them, apply. The worst that could happen is they say no. I would say that every job that I've applied for and have gotten, I was unqualified for based on the requirement. So don't let that deter you.
Good point.
Yes.
Yes.
Anybody has any questions?
Couldn't find anybody that wanted to do Access Database and Visual
had all the fancy new things, you know. So I went, and this was with State Street Bank up in Quincy. That's where I work now. I've worked there 3 years. And I work on my own a lot. Pretty much everything I do is on my own. And I get to work from home 2 days a week. No, 3 days a week. Drive in just twice. And get great benefits. My pay, since in 3 years, has jumped 20%. That's like unheard of now. But that was another thing I found. When you go for your job, you know, you might think, oh, computer industry, you're going to get a high pay. Do what it takes to get in the door, to get that first job. Like my first one, I worked for a temp agency, got me in the door, then in there. Do whatever it takes. Get to know the right people. and draw on who you know and do whatever you can to get in there. And I took a pretty low salary getting in so that I could get in the door. And then, you know, if you do a good job, then you get promotions and raises. I just wasn't sure kind of what I wanted to so far. So, I just thought I'd show you a little bit of what I do, because I know last time I was here, it seemed like a lot of kids had dreams of becoming video game developers, and yeah, that's pretty competitive. Computers are in every industry. You can work pretty much for any type of company. You know, here I am working at a bank. It's not like your commercial bank. It's investment banking. And I hate accounting and finance, but it's computers and it's logic. So the class you're taking here in logic, that's the same in any programming. If you like what you're doing here, you'll probably like a career in programming. So this is, can I get rid of this little thing? Okay. This is what I was doing the past couple of weeks. And what they do there is they have funds come in, and you can get a fund opening, an amendment, you can add a market to it, close a market, all different types of things, processes that the team has to then work on. And they have a bunch of different steps that they have to do for each process. And they have to enter their date requested, date completed, or it might not be applicable. They can enter in their comments and ticket number, multiple ticket numbers. And there can be, for an open, this is an open, there can be up to like 70 steps that they have to do to get through it. And they might get a form that has like 3 or 4 new funds coming in all in the same form that have all the same, pretty much the same information. And so they'll have all those steps to do for all those 4 funds. And they were going in and having to enter their date requested for this and then go to the next fund and enter it for that and go to the next fund and enter it for that. And so what this form does is they hit the copy button and it will bring up the fund they're working on with the information about it. And then all the other fund processes that are the same type of process that are incomplete for this client, because those are the ones that are most likely to be the same. So then they'll just select those processes that they want a copy to, and it's your basic list boxes. And then the key thing here for this was they want to be able to say, well, we want to copy just like the date completed, or just, you know, we don't want these ticket numbers. So took all the different things that they might be able to enter, or they could pick to copy them all. And then down here, they can pick individual steps, or they can copy them all. And when they pick these or they pick that, it loads this list box with them. And so at that point, you've got all the information you need. You know which pieces of data you want to copy, you know which steps you want to copy, and you know which funds, processes you want to copy to. But then it gets a little tricky because you also have to think about if they're just copying a date completed, you have to make sure that that date completed is not before a date requested that's already in there. So there's a whole bunch of little things. When you're programming anything, you probably notice little things pop up all over the place that you didn't expect in the beginning. One of my hardest things at work is when people ask me to give them an idea of when I'm going to be done with something. I was like, I hate that. I really don't know. It could get done just like that piece of cake. Or you might get stuck on something and spend forever, and it's one stupid little problem, you know, you didn't see. It can make you want to pull your hair out. But if that doesn't actually make you pull your hair out, then again, programming might be something you'll really like and you can do well at. So that's pretty much all I've got to say, I think. Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay. That's good.
Thank you.
Yep.
But that was like a small group of developers. I wanted something a little more serious, so I went to Boston. I joined a startup, and I worked with some really like seasoned engineers. And at that time, a lot of the code was being written in Java. I was still working mainly on the front end, but they started transitioning me into the back end, working with Java. And then I learned that I did not like Java, so I moved on from that. And then now currently I work at Fidelity Investments. I've been with Fidelity Investments now for 4 years and a couple months. And I work a senior cognitive computing engineer, which I don't even know how to explain what that is. So I work as part of the cognitive team. And what we do is basically we leverage like natural language processing, natural language understanding, third-party APIs to create virtual assistant experiences that for our customers that can help the customer do mundane stuff and also answer any sort of questions that they might have. And these what we call bots, they're virtual. There's a virtual assistant, but the virtual assistant makes up of different bots, and every bot can have a specific topic and classification, and then these bots can then communicate with our internal APIs and actually do complete transactions with the user based on, you know, an intent, what we call an intent from the user. Like, I want to transfer money from this account to this other account. So then they're talking to the bot, and the bot will actually complete those operations. And then now, it's my career took a different aspect, a different, because I started in the front end, but I always liked working in the server, so now all I do is Node.js, and Node.js runs, it's a server pretty much, but it does some really low-level things, like it can go into the file system, parse the files, create folders, and then it can also serve at a port, so basically it is a server, but it works very lowly into the operating system, if you wish. That's something that I love to do. Like I said, I started in the front end, but I love the back end. I love being on the server and the terminal, and I love what I do. It can be a lot of work sometimes, and like she mentioned, there's a lot of air pulling at some point. But it's always good to you got to take that people skills into the workplace too, because you're gonna need help from other people, and people mentor you along the process, and then eventually you get to the stage where you've got to make that decision: do I want to keep coding, or do I want to lead the team and work more in the business, like, you know, the business side of things, like this gentleman was describing. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we also been leveraging like a lot of AWS solutions and things like that too. So that's also something that you guys can keep on your radar. That can become very useful once you go into the profession. There's courses you can take online. Like I was telling the previous class, like udemy.com, that's a good source for courses and knowledge or preparation for certifications that you can take. A lot of these certifications, they're like $150 or $200, and they're valid for like 2 years, but they look very good on your resume. So those are the things that you know, you don't have to have a degree. The degree is obviously helpful, but once you have that, those certifications, they do look good on your resume, along, obviously, with the experience. So my main language that I work with is JavaScript, and that was, like, something that I learned here at BCC. And then all these other things that I've been mostly working on now, currently, these are all things I picked up on my own. Like, you're going to learn, if you really take this into this profession into heart, it's like there's a lot of learning on your own. I have people master's degrees that I have to show them what to do because they have no idea. A lot of it is just through experience and learning. So that's about it. If you have any questions.
Can you put the sources on the board? Also, the website.
Oh, sure. I have a GitHub account if you guys want to check it out. It's there's some small projects there, but they have some backbone and marionette and things that kind of got me started. And I recently did a talk of Fidelity, like on Node.js, to my whole group. It was like a 40-minute talk. And like I went in detail, like explaining how Node.js works and all that. And then I wanted to make that accessible, like for, you know, to the public. But they're like, no, you can't. What do you, that's really something you gotta deal with when you work in corporations. You do things internally and then you can share. But if you go to this, like my GitHub, like I have a few things there, so you check it out.
Any other questions? Or any of the people?
Oh, you've got a question.
Is there any like spaces where you can freely code? If you already know how to do it, freely code whatever you want to
do. Well, yeah, you can do that on your own time, but also search the internet. There are also places called like a JS bin? There you have these things on the internet where they actually load whatever technology you're interested in, and then you can just code right there in the web browser. So you can, I forget what they have to do.
JS Fiddle?
Yeah, like JS Bin, but they have another one called like Coda, I think.
Code Academy
maybe. They also have this other one called Cold Wars, that's a good one. And you can do like different, they have different assignments in different languages and in different, even frameworks. And then you can then go through levels. It's pretty cool. So you can check that out.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. And if you don't have any other questions, we're done. If you have other questions, or if you want to talk to any of these people, stay around.
Wait, so...